Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Anthony Brown, a.k.a. I think they're called the Power Girl Group of the Justice League with it's Batwoman, no, Batlady. Jesus, I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. Batwoman, Wonder Woman, and Supergirl. This is a sticker for those who are listening to the recording. I thought I'd use that as my a.k.a. this morning. And today's episode is a little bit different. I know I always say that every episode. It keeps you guys, I always say that. But today's episode is a little bit different. I did something that could possibly go down as a legendary moment of my career. You generally might not understand it, but you guys are kind of like the big faces. You guys are like the Shaq and Kobe Bryant or the Batman and the Robin, let me not use that because people don't like to be compared to Robin. So, you're
Jordan
Batman.
Pippen,
huh?
Jordan yeah. Pippen.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. I'll give. Yeah, I'd rather Mike. You know than. Okay, so yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, okay.
I like that one better. I thought I was trying to think of somebody like iconic group, and I was like, you know, like what about Shaq and LeBron? And, yeah, but okay. But no, like we have two gentlemen here that I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. I feel like me trying to like make someone put on the spot on them would just not, it would just be criminally underrated. It just wouldn't be right. So any one of you gentlemen that would like to go first, introduce yourselves.
Dr. Hill, please.
Okay. Well, I'm Sean Hill. I'm Vice President for Student Engagement. I've been at Lewis and Clark for approaching 19 years now. I work with student organizations, athletics, TRIO programs, diversity programs. Before I was vice president, I was also a psychology faculty member. And I'm just proud to be here, and I'm grateful that Anthony Brown has offered a little bit of his time to let me speak.
And Ken Traska, a.k.a. Dr. T, because that last name Traska kind of is a tongue twister sometimes. But been at Lewis and Clark as president in about 8 months now, and it's been a remarkable experience. I was in southwestern Kansas for about a little over 5 years as president at Seward County Community College. And before that, up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I was born in upstate New York, Buffalo, and lived in Germany my whole life, and just love this work. I love working within the community college world, and just being able to support our community and help you, young individuals like yourself, Anthony, do wonderful and amazing things in their lives. And so I'm proud to be part of the podcast today as well, and just look forward to a great conversation and a continued great experience here at Lewis and Clark. So thank you, my friend.
No problem. Thank both of you gentlemen for showing up. Well, Craig, I know you've been on the podcast before, but would you want to reintroduce yourself or are you?
Sure. My name's Craig Johnson. I'm a student at Lewis and Clark here. I'm taking web design and development, and I'm actually set to graduate now. So.
Ooh. You're graduating too? I am.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously.
Congratulations.
It's like everyone that I met this year is like, they came in and now they're gone.
Yeah.
So that is good. I wish you the best of luck in whatever you do. I remember you and Alex were working on the website. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, that's a main thing I've been doing is posting stuff to the website.
Yep. Has it been fun?
Yes, I enjoyed doing it, yeah. Yep.
Have you enjoyed trying to rearrange the podcast episodes with Alex and trying to keep everything in order?
Yeah, it was pretty unusual when I first started doing it. You know, it's WordPress, but I got the hang of it. That's why I told Alex, as soon as I get the hang of it, now I'll be done. You know, they'll have to train somebody else. Yeah, I enjoyed working remotely and stuff, you know, which in the field I'm going into, that's pretty common to work remotely. So, you know, team collaboration and all that, I enjoyed all that.
Okay. So, Dr. Hill and Dr. T. So before I get into the questions, I want to ask you some one-off questions. So you gentlemen have very high positions within Lewis and Clark. And if you were not doing those positions, what else would you be doing?
Well, you know, if I weren't in this field, I would probably be in film. Really looking forward to NYU film school, and then suddenly that whole trajectory changed. So I think I'd be working in film. I really do. I worked in film when I was in high school, very similar to how you were in radio and broadcasting and commercials. And so that I think that deep down in that heart of mine is where the passion still is. And I think, I try to apply that creativity and just, you know, passion to the world of education. So it's sort of applying it in a different way. But yeah, I'd say, you know, I may be one of those C-level, you know, actors or directors, right? Yeah. But that's where my passion is, creativity, but I think it would have been film.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if I wasn't in, you know, I was a psychology professor before this. I thought about being a librarian at one point. Because I love books. I love being around books. At one point in my life, I thought I was going to be a pastor. I was going to go to seminary. I had all the application, all the paperwork to be a pastor, to go to a seminary for that. And then when I was really young, my father was a police officer, so we had all these books about forensic science around the house. And so I would flip through it and try to figure out crime scene investigation. So at one point, I thought I was going to be working at, like, the FBI crime lab was my goal. But I was kind of all over the place.
I can relate to that. I am just everywhere but where I need to be. I surprise myself every day. It's wild. It's like, oh, you're an artist. That's cool. Oh, you can be a leader of a group. Oh, you can do podcasts. Oh, you know how to rebuild things. You're just, you know, so... The last one I kind of made up. I don't think I can rebuild this Legos. Like, I'm not really, like, really good at building things. But, so, I'm going to ask the first question. I'm so used to my having a co-host here, so forgive me if I say that. But if there's any movie franchise that you would like to remake, what would it be? And I know, Dr. Hill, I know we've talked before about it. You know, you like when things are just how they are. But if you had... One franchise. Like, for me personally, it's Dragon Ball Evolution. Like, if any of you know what that is, yeah.
I do not know what that is.
Yeah,
I would say the Bourne films. You know,
really,
and but not so much remaking them to make them better, just to be in them, you know, like hey, you know, cast me and Dr. Hill in the Bourne, you know, in the Bourne legacy, you know, in the Bourne identity. And I love those films, but I think it would be kind of cool if I had a chance to somehow be part of those projects, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, the Bourne films are on Sci-Fi yesterday, I think.
Oh man!
So you missed hours of Jason Bourne.
Just one after the next, you know.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, Anthony. We talked about this. The right. Stuff I really like, I'm protective of, right?
Right. I just said.
Hi, Jenna. And you know, like some movies shouldn't be messed with. Like Predator shouldn't be messed with, even though it drags on. Alien shouldn't be messed with, even though I think Alien Covenant was the best one. It's those cheesy movies from the 80s and 90s that I think should be redone. So, I think reboot RoboCop, right? So the 80s RoboCop was sort of like that campy, over-the-top humor. They had that one reboot movie.
Yes.
You know, sort of like, you know, that got that, it's one reboot movie, and then Dread got its reboot movie. That's a whole other issue. I think they're the same movie. But yeah, I kind of like to see RoboCop redone into a franchise.
Okay, I know.
You know, that in American Ninja, but that's, I don't want to admit that I've seen those movies.
See, at first I thought you were going to say Tron, because I feel like with now, like with everything going on. No, hear me out, Dr. Hill. Before you go defensive, hear me out. So I don't want to see a remake, but like I want to see them like take some of the side stories that they did like with the video games in the 2000s, like with the one where some scientist who was helping the main character of one of the Tron movies, they didn't really say who it was, but they turned that into a video game, a first-person shooter. So I would like to see that be adapted into film and see on like with Tron App Killer, where Tron and Mercury were both kind of like going into the real world and the virtual world trying to save both. Like, I would like to see that, but you know.
I would love to see the Tron world extended. I'm hoping that there's a third movie that comes out. Tron Uprising, the cartoon series didn't quite do it for me, but I'm with you. I'd be all aboard. And Daft Punk broke up, so that kind of kills some of the music for me. But
they could do what they're doing now. They could use Lil Yachty. Everyone's using the newer. I'm sorry. Craig, is there a movie series that you would like to see remake, or you know, franchise that you would like to see rebranded?
I tell you what, during the 80s, all them Stephen King movies, I think those would be awesome movies if they remade them, like Maximum Overdrive and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
If they kind of updated them, you know, made them more modern, you know, as far as some movies, like Back to the Future, those are still great movies, you know, but like them Stephen King movies and stuff, as far as the spooky ones, I like the spooky ones a little bit better than, you know, I think if they remade them, they could turn them into some great movies.
Children of the Corn.
Yes.
If it wasn't ridiculous, because every time I think about that movie, I just think like, Malachi. Right? And he wants you too, Malachi. And that's all I think about when I... But yeah, better special effects, make it more cultish, like what we think about cults now. Man, that movie could be good. You're right. I agree with you.
Right. I think you've got a part on that, Dr. Hill. I mean, that's a pretty good, pretty good stuff.
Do you know that movie?
Yeah.
My mother was a big Stephen King fan.
But see, I like your philosophy too. You start messing with others' creativity. I mean, I don't know, Anthony. That's a good question. That's a tough one because it's like, you know, in that moment in time. Was that film right? You know, was it, yeah. I mean, did it work? You know, I mean, for me, the whole Bourne thing is like, I just want to be in the movie. You know?
See, Dr. T, I see you in, you know, Fast and Furious, personally.
That's... Oh, yeah. I can't wait. 9's coming out.
Right. You know, and 10 will probably be Fast and the Furious in space. That's kind of all we have left.
There you go.
You know what? I'm waiting for the day they add dinosaurs, because we already had superhuman. I'm just, when they start adding dinosaurs with their cars, they transform to cars. Like, it's just, you know, at that point, it's Fast and Furious versus the dinosaurs. And I'm just like, I'm about to pay $40 to go see this movie. And it's perfect. Jenna, you got anything you want to add, or? You
touched on a lot of mine from last week, I think. I think like Dr. Hill said, a lot of the ones from the 80s. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, you got to be careful on who's making them, who's remaking them. Like, you don't want somebody like Disney or something remaking some of the ones from the 80s, because a lot of the humor in the 80s was very...
80s.
80s. That's the best way to put it, yes.
And it just does not translate well. And that was the whole funny part of it, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the jokes from the 80s are cringeworthy, but...
Exactly.
They're good, though. They make good memes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And like Dr. T said, it worked. It worked for the time, right? It did.
Exactly.
That's what we thought. Wow, could this get any better?
And yes. Then,
you know, 20 years later, you're like, it could get way better.
Yes.
Like,
definitely
better, but also don't take away from the movie. Like,
yeah.
The essence of the movie, and the movie that I did said talked about last time I was on was Adventures in Babysitting. I loved that movie when I was a kid. I'm an 80s kid. I was born in 85, so like that was one of my favorite movies when I was growing up. Was, you know, I would love it if my babysitters took me to the city of Chicago and we did all this crazy stuff. And
you didn't like the remake?
No, Disney remade that. That was horrible.
Okay, that was your point. Sabrina Carpenter and what's her name were in it?
I'm the babysitter. Like that rap. Yes. That was horrible, cringeworthy. Like,
well, as a whole, Disney's rap game is kind of weak. But that's
Disney's
rap.
Good
point.
I would love Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox and what is his name?
Christopher Lloyd.
Yes, Mr. Floyd. Instead of like remaking it with them, with like Michael J. Fox's kids. Traveling Back to the Future instead of a remake, like another Back to the Future 27 or whatever it is.
You want the full nostalgia trip, like Star Wars. You want the old people and the new people.
Yeah.
You want Bill and Ted to show up in a phone booth.
Yeah, basically. Like, if we can have Fast and the Furious 28, like, why can't we have Back to the Future 4 or whatever, 5?
I'm all for it.
Yeah,
and usually sometimes it's because someone doesn't want to pick up the script because they feel like that's too much of a responsibility, which I understand, but it's like, at the same time, take on the challenge. You never know. If you make a whack movie, you'll make a movie that comes on TV every Saturday around 12 o'clock.
Well, you can take away from a classic. Like, I get that, though. You can take away from a classic like Back to the Future. You can't take away from gearheads that drive like crazy 100 miles per hour jumping off of trucks. Like, you can't take away from that. Exploding trucks, driving really fast, and action stunts, stuff like that. I mean, that's cool irregardless.
I don't know, Jenna Tan. Have you seen Twilight? Have you seen the Twilight movies? People flock to that hardcore.
I have.
What's wrong with the Twilight movies?
I own all of those.
I grew up in an era where, in middle school, where every girl was like trying to get abducted by vampires. It was weird, cringy, and I hate that I grew up in that. Like, every girl thought they walked around like this, but like their jackets like half cocked off, and like some 300-year-old vampire guy was gonna come and sweep them up and make them their forever patrol. And it's like, you guys are cringy.
I never walked around like that trying to get abducted by no vampire. Like, yeah. Well, bought the movies, I admit to that, but I never thought that I was delusional enough that I was going to be abducted by a vampire.
You have to remember, these are millennials. We're like the half oxygen brain generation. Like, we think about it, we're like, it sounds good, and then we do it. Like, sounds bad.
iPads.
Yeah. I blame the iPads. That's the reason why I blame the games. That's the reason why we're all like crazy. We're doing wild things like eating Tide Pods and you know, just
sorry.
Let me stop talking about that before I get canceled. So the next question I want to ask you guys and gals, what are your plans for the summer this year? You know, with everything opening back up and everybody's either vaccine or not vaccine, and there's a mutant war arising and all those good things. What are you guys' plans?
pretty much lay low. I mean, honestly, you know, I got some other things we got to take care of as a family, and so we got to stay in town. But we're gonna lay low and just relax a little bit, and you know, kind of get charged up. I mean, maybe take a little time off here and there. But yeah, just you know, maybe some of those road trips, you know, but short things, you know, kind of get off the grid a little bit, you know. I mean, that is something. Like, that's my dream, is to live off the grid. Just like I have to go to the town 30 miles away to get my mail, kind of off the grid, you know. I mean, and just have a couple solar panels, or, you know.
That's way off the grid.
I'm telling you, yeah, you know, yeah. There's a guy, a poet, Gary Schneider, who my daughter and I met. And we went out to Michigan. She was checking out University of Michigan, and we happened to be there when Gary Schneider was speaking, and he's lived off the grid 50 years in Arizona, and he's an environmental poet. He won the Pulitzer Prize in 1975 for a book called Turtle Island. I love poetry and all that stuff. So I just happen to feel like I could just pull this stuff. I don't know why. Don't ask. It's the same problem you have, Anthony, you know, just why we're weird and strange, but off the grid is attractive, because as much as I love people, it's nice to be away from people, but we've been away for a while from each other. So it's kind of that contradiction. I want to be back. I want to be engaged with the team here, with the community, but there's that time sometimes where you just feel, I want to get away. I want to be like in the middle of the woods and just listen to nothing, you know? So Gary Schneider has inspired that with me. So Dr. Hill, we'll go to you.
I have to admit, being off the grid, I like it. I mean, I think I still need Wi-Fi, but I mean,
I'll figure out that one.
There's a line there. It's like,
yeah, it's like an off the grid community. Just want to check, is there Wi-Fi? Like, sure, this is, we're off the grid, man.
Semi off the grid.
Yeah. There you go. Semi off the grid.
Because of COVID, there's a family wedding that got canceled last year that we're going to end up going to. So we have a family wedding happening in the middle of Missouri, another one in Clearwater, Florida. So, you know, while we're down in Florida, we'll make our obligatory family Disney World trip. You have to go to Disney World. And then, you know, I'd like to read a few books, maybe do a little writing, catch up on a few shows. Pretty easy, simple summer, right? Nothing too complicated.
Correct. Sounds awesome. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to probably just be about the only actual plans that I have is just job hunting, you know. I'm going to be doing a lot of job hunting. Hopefully I land something in the web development here in the next short time. I had previously worked over 20 years in retail management. I actually went back to school, and I still got some of my old bosses and stuff hounding me, you know, do you want to come back to work? I went out of retail management. It's a different word. It's a different world than what it used to be.
Do you want to try?
Well, good luck with that, Craig, with your job search. And I think it's admirable that you worked 20 years in a great industry and then decided to come back to school, and now it's that next level. So congratulations, and don't be a stranger to Lewis and Clark. If there's anything we can do, you know, you're part of the family, so don't forget that.
Okay. Thank you.
That is true.
Absolutely. And that goes for you, Anthony, and for you, Jenna. They're all remarkable people. I mean, you've actually made my experience here that much better by getting the chance to engage with all of you as students, and your leadership is pretty remarkable. So thank you. A little plug for the three of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Jenna, I know you're sitting there smiling. You don't want to talk, or?
Yeah, I am, like Craig, now that I finally graduated 27 million years, 1,000 billion years later. No, I am going to finally start looking at some job opportunities, but I also am super excited that they have finally approved the Pfizer vaccine for children my daughter's age. So once her doctors, because she's got a lot of health issues, so once they approve it for her specifically, her bottom in the first line I can find and gonna get her vaccinated. We are like Dr. T going to escape from it all around the 4th of July and going to this awesome, beautiful place. A little plug for Brown County, Indiana. There's this gorgeous state park there. It's Brown County State Park, literally. It's the area with like covered bridges. It's gorgeous there. Just lakes and hills, and they're known for their like their bicycle trails and rides, and not that of course I would ride a bicycle on those hills, but they do have like gorgeous horse rides and hay rides, and it's just gorgeous there. We rent a cabin because my version of camping, of course. And then later in the summer, we will plan to go down to Naples, Florida, and like Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, and visit with some family. Kind of, you know, isolate ourselves still. We're, you know, stick to ourselves still. We're cautious like that, even though, you know, they're lifting things and saying it's safe. We're still cautious with Mel's health. And just bumming around home, you know, cleaning things up and out and getting ready to start going back to work and applying for graduate programs for my master's degree.
Hey, congratulations. That's great.
Yes, I'm going to plug this. I just had the great opportunity of graduating from Lewis and Clark and Missouri Baptist University. From a 2+2 program, I was able to get a bachelor's degree and never ever step foot in St. Louis at the Missouri Baptist University. I was always able to do my classes and talk to my advisors, everything at Lewis and Clark. I never ever had to go to St. Louis ever, except for graduation. So it was awesome. I basically got my bachelor's degree at a community college and for just a little bit more than the community college price. So I'm super grateful that Lewis and Clark had that partnership with these universities. It's not just MoBAP either. They have it with Greenville and SIUE, and I'm not sure of other ones, but definitely grateful for that opportunity.
I'm so proud of you guys.
What are your plans, Anthony?
My plans, well, it's same as you and Craig, job hunting. Actually, it's wild. My plan is kind of like all of you all mixed into one. Kind of staying to myself, doing a lot of more painting and more soul searching, more growth, more, you know, grow up, you know, being 25, when your frontal lobe finally develop, you know, you kind of start, you know, you start looking at other things in life besides video games, art, and trying to get a car, do this, do that. It's like, well, what about long-term, you know? So this summer is more for growth, artistic wise and personal wise. I'm going to try to go places, but if I start seeing people with less masks, because that makes me nervous, I think I'll just, you know, keep to myself and just kind of, you know, go down to the front of Alton and paint the dock, the boats at the dock, and, you know, just do simple things. Nothing too extreme, like, oh, I'm going to Florida. Then after I leave Florida, I'm going to Miami. After Miami, I'm going to, no, just simple, quiet, and not too much going on. And maybe watch some bad movies along the way.
I definitely got to catch up on my TV shows like Dr. Hill. I have been not watching those. And Anthony, your artwork is really awesome. I hope that you are going to take some time this summer and put together a website or something.
I've been working on a Redbubble and a Etsy page, but lately it's just been like going up, down. So it's right now. So kind of right now, I just been resorting my art to like birthday gifts. Like, oh, it's your birthday. Hey, what do you like? You like Pokemon here? There you go. Happy birthday. Or, you know, kind of like something to get people when they're grieving. Just like, oh, hey, listen, here's some free art for your family member. I know her, they like Invincible. Here, give them this piece I did. Shout out to Invincible if you guys read the comic before you watched the Amazon series. You guys are OG. But if you only watch the TV show, I you slightly get a little bit more respect for me. Slightly. Just a tad, yeah. But, no, I'm joking. But, yeah, I am trying to do something with that, but I'm not going to crack that joke out of respect of Dr. Hill and Dr. T. I'm not going to crack that joke here, so we're going to leave that joke alone forever. If you ever listen to the other podcasts, you understand what the joke would have been when everyone brings up careers, so it's bad, Dr. Hill, it's bad. It's not that bad, but it's...
Yeah. Not good either.
We'll talk off air.
Yeah. So this question is geared towards more Dr. Hill and Dr. T. So with the college opening up and allowing students to attend in person, what are your predictions for the upcoming school year?
I'd say my predictions are optimistic. I mean, you know, I feel, you know, at the end of the day, Anthony, it's about trying to make sure that every one of our students feel safe and feel that this is a place that they belong. And I know coming out of a pandemic, there's still a lot. I mean, you just, you know, talked about that, you know, still a lot of anxiety and angst and uncertainty. And I feel that for me, the optimism comes from being sure that we facilitate and promote a very inclusive and respectful culture. So, you know, just because we're coming back doesn't mean that we lose track of being respectful to one another. Somebody, you know, if for example, you know, something comes out that says, hey, no more masks and no more this, there may be individuals, you know, and I can put myself in that boat. I mean, my daughter's got some health things coming up and, you know, I'm not going to compromise her health. So I may very well be wearing a mask in closed, you know, in areas where, you know, the vulnerability in my mind may be higher. And I think, you know, as we see that, you know, or if we see that, I think it's just a matter of being respectful to one another. And so, but I'm optimistic because, you know, the work we do is so important and it's about building community. And I mean, each of you are an example of what Lewis and Clark can do in providing opportunity for you to move on and do amazing things in your life. So I don't look at COVID-19 holding us back in any way. But as we move forward, it's about respect. It's about boundaries. It's about moving forward together. So that would be my perspective. And I'm certainly always interested in Dr. Hill's point of view. But Dr. Hill is a fantastic leader, and I'm pretty sure that we're on the same page.
I agree. I'm looking forward to being with people again. I'm kind of an odd guy in that I'm an introvert, but I like being around people. Right. And because as much as we can, even in this forum, as much as we can be together on Zoom or some other platform, it doesn't replicate the energy that you get from being in a room or in a place with people. There's kind of a synergy that comes from people being in the same place. So I look forward to us being able to have events actually on campus. You know, there'll be more people. There'll be the connection interaction that comes from that. But other than that, I agree completely with what Dr. T said. It's just, I think people are ready to get back to something. Will it be back to what it was? Maybe not, but I think, you know, there's a hopefulness and optimism of this coming fall in particular that you know, we got through it. You know, my wife and I were talking to my daughter about some of the similarities between what's happened now and what's happened like with the Spanish flu outbreak and some other things that have happened historically. And, you know, some of the signage was some kind of the same about what people should do and not do and masks they should wear and all those kinds of things. And it's, yeah, this is sort of, you know, for my daughter who's 14, I think about her in school and she's been remote all year. It's, you know, this is her kind of survival story that she'll be talking about when she's in her 20s and 30s about, you remember back, you know?
Back in 21,
yeah. Yeah, I remember back in 21, back in the day when we, and then kind of laugh about it. You know, don't get me wrong, there's been some tragedy with it too, but you know, you can look back on things and I think we'll be able to look back on these years with some degree of gratefulness, even though it's been hard. So, yeah.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Can I ask a question of Dr. T? And I know you can't really answer this completely yet because this literally was just released by the CDC and Bruce Clark hasn't had time to probably come up with an answer, but you know, just kind of, you know, off the top of your head,
sure, what
you would think. So they recently just said, masks are not required for people that are fully vaccinated indoor or outdoor, unless it's a crowded situation. Are we thinking possibly for a while that's going to be kind of a moot point? Because how else would Lewis and Clark be able to differentiate if a person is vaccinated or not without violating like a health HIPAA?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, there's still the state mandate, and so we have a little bit of time. But I know we as a leadership team are meeting, I believe, next week to discuss the CDC announcement and to really look at what that means in the context of how we move forward. So, yeah, and I think at that point we'll be able to make a collective statement going forward. I forget what it is, Sean, but I know we can ask if you've been vaccinated, but we can't ask why you haven't been. I forget what it was. I got some information on that from our HR director and from some other leaders across the country. So that all, though, Jen, is some of the stuff we have to flush out so that message is clear and here's what we are going to do, here's what we're not going to do, and here's what it means to you as a member of Lewis and Clark's family, as a student, as a community member, et cetera. So, but like I said earlier in my comments about masks and COVID is – you know, whatever we do as an institution, it's going to be in line with what's in the best interest of the community, you know, and I think we have to keep that in mind. And so, you know, it's probably been said 1,087,000,000 times, but it's a tricky time. And I think, you know, it's going to take some creative thinking and some good discussion to get to that point to where we need to be. So, you know, that would be my response, Jenna, which I know is kind of a,
no
exact approach, but that's kind of where we're at this point. So
I think it's a totally valid and appropriate response because it is, like you said, a tricky time. And I really liked your point from earlier about, you know, my daughter's health, you know, is tricky. And irregardless of not of what an institution's policy is or what the CDC's recommendation
right.
is, I'm still going to wear a mask and still going to wash my hands and use sanitizer, you know, regardless of whatever anybody's policies are, because my first responsibility is to her and her health. And,
yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I like that. Sorry, I appreciate that, Anthony. I just wanted to ask.
No, you're fine. Because actually, that was something I was going to ask, but I was going to like maybe that may be too much to be asking right now.
Well, you know me.
Right. No, you're fine. Like, you know, that's your job. You know, when you're part of the bridge, you're supposed to, like, you know, when you have the opportunity, you're supposed to strike the match. Well, strike when the match is hot or something like that, or strike when the iron's hot. Something like that. But, Craig, did you have anything you wanted to ask or, you know, you wanted to?
Not really. as far as my experience with the, as far as the COVID thing, and as far as, you know, the school going to, you know, remote learning more or less or whatever, I have mixed feelings about it. You know, you there's some advantages to it. You know, so you save on gas and everything's a little more relaxed. You know, you stay in your house, you know, and stuff. Disadvantages to that would be like if I had a question or something, you know, a lot of times you got to wait, you know, long. When the class was being held at school, you know, you knew where the teachers were at, you know, and it was easier to get answers. But as far as I see that as being understandable, because, you know, the teacher can't sit by their computer, you know, 24 hours a day waiting for an email, you know. Right. So I had mixed feelings on it, but, you know, it is what it is, though. You know, there's nothing we can do about it.
You got to take it one day at a time. And, you know, I think, you know, I mean, we've had to sort of pace ourselves the last year. So a little bit more pacing is not going to.
I think overall, you know, the way the whole thing went down, you know, you couldn't have asked for a better, you know, because it's, you know, very unusual for the entire world, you know, to go basically remote on everything.
I know. I mean, I remember seeing those pictures of, like, for some reason, a picture of Barcelona, Spain sticks out. I think it was on the front page of a newspaper or something. It was just abandoned. You know, that's the place I've been in my life. And it's just like, just, or New York City, even. I mean, where you just, there's nothing going on. And it's just surreal. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, as a world, we paused and hopefully we come back stronger. You know, we come back, a little bit more together. I mean, that's the thing for me. It's like, man, let's get together. Let's move, you know, but let's,
I think, like, as far as, I think as far as this country, did like an amazing job on this, you know, because this was a major, you know, automatic shift, you know.
A lot of people stepped up, and I think just a little longer of maybe stepping up, and then we come out of this, you know, I think in a better way. And you know, but I also get it. I get where people are getting impatient, people are getting a little anxious because, you know, you kind of want to get out there and kind of live your life, you know. You know, and so, yeah, but, you know, but as an institution here, as the college, we're always going to put the students first and in our community first and make sure that whatever we do and however we do it is always driven by that criteria, you know, so.
And I was going to say that was that I appreciated how Lewis and Clark handled things. I know that a lot of students got frustrated at times. Didn't necessarily always understand, well, why can't we get together and have student activity stuff? For those of you that might not, I know everybody on the call knows, but for people listening to the podcast, I was the student activities president. So that means that, like, I planned and sometimes hosted or participated in, like, student activity events. And the last year, everything was virtual. But they didn't understand why we couldn't get together to do things virtual or in person on campus, especially when there was limited numbers of people participating. But that was because, like, it was still, nobody was getting together. Nobody was still at times allowed on campus. And I appreciated the way that the college handled that because, like, seeing how, again, my daughter's school handled it, they were back and forth constantly. And it interrupted her education. I was seeing kids constantly being sent out to quarantine. I was hearing about other colleges and universities that were, you know, constantly sending people home to be quarantined. Like, that's not sustainable. And I appreciated the fact that Lewis and Clark was taking that into account, that you know, their students are not just younger college age students, but they're also adults. They're people of all ages and walks of life. They're adults, they're parents, they're people part of the community that affect other aspects. And they didn't have the opportunity to come and sit in a classroom with however many other people and take the chance that they would have to be quarantined and affect the rest of, you know, the community, their family, and everybody else. And I do have to say that I know that it must have been difficult for you, Dr. T, coming into everything as a new position.
Yeah.
At the beginning of all of COVID. And I think you did that pretty admirably. So,
you know, I have a good team. Dr. Hill's part of that team. So it was, you know, I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to come together and focus on the best interest of the team around you and the students and community. And I think if you're doing it, and, you know, from that point of focus, then it's really hard to not do good work. I mean, you know what I mean? We're coming at it for the right reasons and with the right intention. I think that is fundamentally what allowed us, I think, to be successful. And we also know that you're never, ever, 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 ever. This is also a bit of advice for, you know, you youngsters on the call, right? You're never, ever, ever going to make everybody happy. And you can't. And you can't work to do that. You have to work to do everything right, you know, and what's in the betterment of everyone. And some people will dig it more than others, but you got to keep moving. So, but thank you, Jenna, for those comments.
And I've worked with Dr. Hill for the last couple of years with SGA, and I, like you said, you know, he's an awesome member of your team. And, you know, yeah, I know, cry you a river, but you are awesome, Dr. Hill. Definitely an invaluable member of their team. And I just have appreciated all the time that I've gotten to work with you and all the things that I've learned from you personally. So thank you.
Same here. Same
here. There you go, for sure. Yeah.
Dr. Hill.
Yep.
I have enjoyed my time here at Lewis and Clark, even though I've been here for a long, long time. I've been learning along the way. I've had my ups and my downs, and each event has, I can say, has made me stronger and a little bit more of a better thinker, it has taught me from thinking and seeing things one way to see them in a different way, in a different light. And, you know, you can't approach every situation with aggression or, you know, well, aggression is the wrong word I want to use. You can't approach a situation with brute force. Sounds a little bit better, but not too good. You have to approach situations with different attitudes and different energy, if that makes sense. And, you know, Lewis and Clark has really taught me how to be kind of more of in a way, it has taught me to be a better man, if that makes sense. I've been at Lewis and Clark for 4 years now. That's 2 year college. That's not, ladies and gentlemen, don't do that. If it's a 2 year college, just go for 2 years. But I kind of took my time with taking my classes, and I would take 3 classes here and there to kind of like span it out, because I felt like if I just would have took all my classes, I wouldn't really have learned anything. I just would have just rushed through it and then been thrown back on the real world and be like, well, I'm here again. Don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit here and draw pictures and hopefully someone will, you know, but by me taking my time with it, I learned the right skills that I needed to survive. You know, if I chose to be an artist my career, I would have the necessary tools to survive and not just be quote unquote a starving artist, because that's not fun. It's not fun when you're hungry and you want to paint pictures. You don't want to do that. But enough of me babbling on and going on. We are actually out of time, ladies and gents. And well, Before I end, is there anything that anybody wants to say? Because not to make anyone sad, but this is technically the last episode. But you guys are part of part two, last episode. Jenna and Marinica were part one. You guys are part two. So if anyone wants to say anything, one last thing for the end of the podcast, and or do you guys want me to say something? Say because I usually end it with an ending statement, but if you guys, you know.
I'd like to, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'd like to give Anthony a little shout out and a congratulations. He actually won an award this year for his podcast through the Illinois Community College Journalism Association. Actually, the Bridge, our Lewis and Clark Community College newspaper, the Lewis and Clark Community College newspaper, won a record-breaking 22 awards this year. Last year, it was, 18, and this year we won 22. It was a big one, and Anthony won one for his podcast. So I just wanted to say, for the last podcast of the year for this year for Anthony, I wanted to end it with a shout out to him, a congratulations.
Thank you. For
all of his congratulations, Anthony. Awesome work, man.
Thank you.
Woohoo! You got to understand, you're going to do amazing things in this world. So don't ever doubt yourself. And if somebody else doubts you, just ignore them and tell them, just wait. I'm going to get dangerous and make it happen.
that's the plan. I like that saying. Just wait. It's going to get dangerous. I like that. Thank you.
Keep your eyes open and keep getting those different perspectives and learning and just never quit learning, because the world is ever changing, and
yes,
you are never too old to quit learning. And
yes, just, very true. And I would say just congratulations to you, Jenna, Anthony again, and Craig for your great work, and keep making things happen out there in the world. And don't be a stranger back to Lewis and Clark. You know, we appreciate each of you.
Dr. Hill?
Thank you.
No?
I agree with those sentiments. I mean, it's been a pleasure working with all of you. Craig, I don't think we've ever met, but it's been nice chatting with you.
Yes, you too. Yes. You sound like a wonderful person.
Thank you. Jen and Anthony, it's been a pleasure working with you, even though we've bumped heads a few times, I think.
Me? Or are you and Jenna?
A little bit with you, just a little bit. Maybe that was Jared, though, too, involved.
Yeah, it's probably.
Okay, but no, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to seeing what both of you are doing. My only other comment in line with some of the movie things we've said is I'm looking forward to being disappointed this summer by the G.I. Joe spinoff movie Snake Eyes.
I mean, he's kind of like the only cool member of the G.I. Joe.
And he talks in the movie a lot.
Sorry if it got silent, everyone. That just kind of just like.
He guys doesn't talk.
What? He does in the movie.
Oh. Oh. Is it an origin movie?
It is.
So, okay. So that's.
A little bit of an origin story, and then, you know, some of his own adventures with Scarlet, I think.
Oh.
Maybe that's why we learned why he doesn't talk.
Yeah. Well, in the comic, there was a bad helicopter accident.
Oh. Ooh. Actually, before I end it, I know you didn't want to give G.I. Joe Renegades a chance, but they, in that version, him and Storm Shadow got in a fight because their master got assassinated, and Storm Shadow shot a dork towards his neck, and it cut his throat, so it cut his vocal cord. So that's why he didn't speak.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Wild.
Sorry, that was my tangent.
But now I'm turning my attention to the audience. You've heard from wonderful people that we have interacted with in our everyday life. And you know, thanks to Dr. T for coming on. Thank Jared. I mean, not Jared, Jesus, he must be talking about me. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Craig. But most importantly, thank you for allowing me to be in your ear for 2.5 years, rambling on and making you laugh, make you concerned, make you go, they're just giving anybody a podcast at this point. But like I said, I'm going to thank these two people again. I thank them in the first one, but I want to thank them again here. I want to give a shout out to Luis Jett for yet again, just giving me the chance. She could have said, ew, no, when I first offered you the job, you were still working at the post office. No, I don't want you working for me now. But no, Luis, she just opened her
arms. With heart spray.
See, wait, no, don't say that. Don't. I don't want Dr. T to know that. That's a no-no story. No one needs to. But yes, thank you to Alex. She is amazing for editing the podcast and putting up with our buffoonery. We had people cuss on here. Oh my goodness! And Alex was the GOAT. She came through and edited everything out. Thank you. But if anyone ever in this world feels like that they are not enough or they feel less than, I want you to know personally that you are amazing. You are a beautiful soul. I know you can go and do anything that you wish to do. Now, go smash your big lug. I've been your host, Anthony Brown. I will see you around, I guess.
Thank you, Anthony.
No problem.
Hey, Dr. T, before you hop